Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim innal ladhina amanu wa 'amilus salihati lahum jannatun tajri min tahtihal anhar ذلك الفوز الكبير وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق المحارم تكن أعبد الناس أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected علماء الكرام, brothers and elders, throughout the Quran Sharif, numerous places there is the very clear message that those who have iman and a'mal salihah, iman and righteous actions, then for them is the direct entry to Jannah, all the great bounties and blessings that Allah Ta'ala has promised. So indeed it is iman primarily that will take a person to Jannat, and without iman a person can never gain entry to Jannat. And if there was nothing but iman, then too eventually the person, by virtue of the iman, if he left this world with iman, he'll go to Jannat. But for that success which Allah Ta'ala has promised in the Quran Sharif, which is the direct entry to Jannat, not having to bypass the torments of Jahannam, and that is still the akhirat, already in dunya. Dunya also, it is on iman and amal saliha that the various promises of Allah Ta'ala are hinged. Iman and amal saliha, the combination of this is described with various different words also. Taqwa means nothing but this, that iman and amal saliha, that is taqwa, that is islah, that a person has acquired islah is what? Iman and amal saliha. This is coupled together, then this is called taqwa. This is what islah is all about, and this is what will bring all those promises of Allah Ta'ala in dunya already, and this is what the direct passage to Jannat is hinged on. In dunya Allah Ta'ala has promised ease. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. Allah Ta'ala has promised rizq from sources that cannot be imagined. On this taqwa, iman and amal saliha, Allah Ta'ala has promised that a person will be guided in all his affairs based on this iman and amal saliha. And then it is this very iman and amal saliha which is the essence of dhikr. And on this Allah Ta'ala has promised ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub, on the reality of dhikr, the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, which is his obedience, and then the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala in all its forms and ways, on which the tranquility and serenity of the heart has been promised. This peace of mind, this tranquility is all based on nothing but this. It's not based on any material things, it's not based on any other philosophical issues, it's based purely on iman and amal saliha. And the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub, this is the essence of it. Allah Ta'ala's obedience and submission to Allah Ta'ala alone, externally, internally, in public, in privacy. And then this doesn't finish off obviously in dunya. Every mu'min knows this is the very, very short phase of this whole existence. The part of his existence that preceded his phase in dunya was also far longer. From alam-e-arwah till the time a person was born, we have no count of it, how long it was. And after dunya is eternal. This is a very short phase in it. So now there is a lot more to come. With iman and amal-e-saliha is the promise of husn-e-khatima, that a person inshallah will leave this world in a good manner, leave this world with iman, leave this world in a way Allah Ta'ala is pleased with him. And that was such a great concern for every pious person of the past. The aslaf, this was a very, very great concern for them, that we must leave this world in a way Allah is pleased with us. And when the time of maut comes, nobody knows. Then the whole life of qabr, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to repeatedly, by way of ta'aleem, he was ma'asum, he was sinless. By way of ta'aleem, used to teach about seeking protection from azab-i-qabr, from the punishment of the qabr. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min azab-il-qabr. So now that azab of qabr and the punishment of qabr, to be saved from it, and to be enjoying all the comforts of qabr, the cool breeze of Jannat, and all the bounties and ni'mats of Jannat already reaching him in the qabr, all that is based on this amal-e-saliha. And then is the day of Qiyamah. The day of Qiyamah, which is a very, very difficult moment. It was on very great personality, Imam Masrooq rahimahullah. He was a student of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. And she had actually adopted him. And he was a very great personality in his time. He was a tabi'i, somebody who was a very, very great person. And among the things that are written about him is that he would also stand in salah, in nafil salah, for such lengthy rakats that his feet would swell. That means a person really stood in one spot motionless for a very long time. This was something that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be mentioned about him, that he used to stand in lengthy rakats, and to the extent that his mubarak feet would swell. When a person is standing motionless in one spot, then the blood circulation now starts getting little lessened. And as a result of which, now 1 hour, 1.5 hours, 2 hours, a person hasn't moved from the spot at all. So now this starts affecting the circulation in the foot. And this starts creating that swelling. It's mentioned about him that this is also his condition, standing in lengthy rakats of the salah. And he used to be engaged in so much of ibadat. So one day his daughter came, and his daughter, he was very attached to his daughter, and anything that she had requested, he just never had the heart to say no to it. So one day she came, and she is now presenting something to him, and telling him, ishrab, wa'akul, or drink, eat. So he asked her, but why are you wanting me to do all this? Perhaps he was probably fasting and now the whole day, and now he's engaged in ibadat so long. So now out of this compassion now, she came. She's telling him, eat something. And say, but why are you wanting me to do all this? So she said, I want you to take it easier, but I want you to have some rest. And I want you to take some comfort. So he said, no, but all this I'm doing. Now it was that daughter who he never had the heart to say no to her for anything. Now she's just presenting some little food and drink to him, asking him to take it easy little bit, asking him to just take some rest. But his response to her was that I'm doing all this to rest on that day which is 50,000 years long. Referring to the day of Qiyamah, which Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, Khamseena al-Fasana, 50,000 years. I said, I'm doing all this for the rest of that day. In other words, this is, I need to do this. I want to do it for the rest of that day. So today will be a little bit of exertion, but this little exertion will bring the comfort of that day. So now the person wants the comfort of the day of Qiyamah. He wants the shade of the Arsh of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He wants an easy reckoning, and he wants to be granted his book of deeds in the right hand. He then wants to be able to cross the Sirat and the bridge over Jahannam with the speed of lightning. He also wants the shafaat and in the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wants the water of Kawthar from his Mubarak hand, and all these various bounties and ni'mats. And then he wants to enter Jannat, and that too Jannatul Firdaus, and he wants to get there directly. So all this is hinged upon Iman and A'mal-e-Saliha now and here. in this dunya, while we have this opportunity, while there's some breath still there, we don't know how long it's there, before these breaths run out, and they just run out sometimes without any sign that it's coming. It's now just almost there, there's no sign, and suddenly it's all over. Person has taken his last breath. When our last breath finishes off, Allah knows. So now all this is hinged on Iman and Amal Salihah. All this good of dunya, and this tranquility and peace of dunya, and the barakat of dunya, and then all these ni'mats and bounties at the time of death, that husn khatima, and that glad tidings from the angels at that time, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutmainna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya, fadkhuli fi ibadi, wadkhuli jannati. And then all the other things that we discussed, all this is hinged on Iman and Amal-e-Salihah. Amal-e-Salihah, literally translated, means righteous actions. This righteous actions is very comprehensive. It includes everything that Allah Ta'ala has commanded us to do, and refraining from everything Allah has forbidden us. To refrain from a haram glance, because this is Allah Ta'ala's command. This refraining is farz. And this is amal salih. This is a righteous action which is farz. That at that time a person should lower his gaze. A person wants to now say something, but that saying something is going to be ghibat. So now he holds his tongue back from that ghibat. That holding his tongue back is farz. And this farz is amal salih. This is an amal salih which is compulsory, which is obligatory upon him, that he must hold back his tongue now. So Amal-e-Salih is a very, very comprehensive thing. It includes all the things that we have to be doing, and includes all the things that we have to refrain from. Refraining from it is Amal-e-Salih. So now this, all these good things of dunya are hinged on Iman and Amal-e-Salihah, and all the good of Akhirat is also hinged on this Iman and Amal-e-Salihah. And then the opposite of it, that all the problems and difficulties, all this comes with the opposite of Iman and Amal-e-Salihah. When the Amal-e-Salihah are lacking, and in place of it, Amal-e-Sayyi'ah, evil actions take its place, sins take its place, then these sins draw down all the problems and difficulties, the wrath of Allah Ta'ala, the pandemics, and whatever else goes along with it. And then the difficulty at the time of mort, Allah Ta'ala protect us, a person hasn't made sincere tawbah, didn't make the effort to now bring Amal-e-Salihah, didn't make the effort to make Islahul A'mal, to rectify his A'mal, then the fear is of, instead of Husn-e Khatima, it could be Su-e Khatima. People, because of their sins, continued recklessly sinning, didn't make tawbah. And at the time of maut, such statements came out of their tongues, which was complete kufr. And people were around, they heard it, they got a shock. How could this have been said at this time? What could have been this? Now when this became such a shock for people, and they started now inquiring, and then it came out that this person was involved in this also, and involved in that also, and involved in so many harams, and continued persisting in it, and recklessly continued, or you will see later. Now all that just emerged in the statement of kufr at the time of maut. So su'e khatima, or if it's not kufr, then too what a kind of maut it might be. And then what about the qabr, azab of qabr, and then a day of qiyamah. And Allah forbid this becomes a means of a person having to go through the cleansing process of Jahannam. So a lot, and everything in fact, is dependent on this Iman and Amal-e-Salihah. So now when this Amal is so crucial, that without this Amal, there's so much to be lost, and such great risks, such great dangers, dangers of dunya, in dunya already, and then the dangers of the qabr, which cannot be imagined. All the challenges of dunya put together can't be one fraction, not even a fraction compared to the challenges of the qabr. And then the day of qiyamah. Allah protect us from all the azab of the day of Qiyamah and Jahannam. So when this is the situation, what does it require? That a person should have extreme fikr and concern for islahul a'mal. When a person wants the comfort of his house, he wants to enjoy the benefits of that house, he wants to enjoy the comfort of it. So one is he makes sure it's built right. And then he's constantly checking everything is in order, everything is in working order. And the slightest thing breaks somewhere or something just doesn't work as it should, then there's an ongoing maintenance, an ongoing improvement and upgrading, so that there isn't any difficulty at any time, let alone something that will affect day-to-day life. Now the roof started leaking, so now it might become a problem. If it rains now, the roof is leaking, it will become obviously a difficulty. So now he immediately fixes that. The window broke, and now if it's a cold day, it's going to become a problem now. That cold is all going to be inside the house. Or if it's raining now, it's going to come into the house. So immediately he fixes that up. Well, now suddenly the water is not coming anymore. That's going to be a major problem. So these are things which will bring about practical difficulties. He immediately attends to it. But let alone those things that will become a source of some practical difficulty, something that will just not look too nice. Maybe now that paint got a little faded. If that paint gets faded, it doesn't affect anything. It doesn't even affect that strength of that wall. But that paint got faded, that doesn't look too nice now. So even that faded paint now, the time has come now to renew it, to repaint it. And sometimes that curtain now just became now out of fashion. So now that needs to be now replaced. So now all this carries on for the comfort of dunya, and let alone anything which has some practical application and some tangible benefit. It's just something that now a person feels happy about, just seeing that thing painted well and seeing the color coordination. But even that is not just let to be, that too is now upgraded and updated and renewed and repainted. All this islahul bayt, islah of the house all the time. And then any small rattle in his car, he'll be immediately attending to it. One small rattle, that could still be a problem somewhere, it mustn't become dangerous. But forget that rattle, one small little minute scratch somewhere, that will become something that will irritate. That this has to be sorted out. The islahus sayyara must happen. So the islahul bayt, the islahus sayyara, and then the islahul malabis, person's clothing, some slight thing somewhere. Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, when he was now asked to come to receive the key to Baytul Maqdis, they said, if this person comes and if we see the description that is in our scripts, then we will hand over the key to Baytul Maqdis, to Masjidul Aqsa and to the Jerusalem, will give it without any fight. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu comes, he's coming as the conqueror of Baytul Maqdis, and he comes wearing a garment at that time which had 17 patches. And prior to reaching there, Hazrat Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala was also a very great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He met Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu en route, and he suggested something. He suggested, you rather change this and wear something else, because these people might see you dressed in this kind of clothing and they might look down upon you. But nevertheless, whatever transpired, but that line of Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu at that time, where he said to him, and he first hit him in his chest. He hit him in his chest and he said, had it been somebody besides you, I would have punished him severely for this kind of suggestion. And then he said the line which has to be inscribed on our hearts, that نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ وَلَوِ ابْتَغَيْنَ الْعِزَّ بِغَيْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ أَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ. That we are people who Allah Ta'ala gave us izzat and honor only on Islam and basis of Islam and through Islam. If we try to seek that honor and respect in anything apart from Islam, in the ways of the Yahud and Nasara, in the ways of and the fashions of the West, in the lifestyle of others, in their ways and habits, and whatever else goes along with it, we leave the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in anything, Allah Ta'ala will disgrace us. And we can see that happening throughout the world. So any case, all these things, nevertheless, islah carries on of all this. Islah of the house, and islah of that car, islah of the clothing, islah of the shoes, and islah of everything. But what matters most, and what's going to affect everything in dunya and akhirat, which is the aspect of iman and a'mal. But that fikr for that islah is seldom there. Illa mashallah. And if it's there, it's not as it should be, except those who Allah Ta'ala blesses with it. It's there. But is it there in the same manner that we have that fikr for islah of things around us? For islah of the material things? So islah of what? So islah al-a'mal, a'mal, a'mal al-zahira and batina. A'mal on the external side, a'mal within us. On the external side, the things that we are obliged to do, we have been commanded to do, our salah, that's the most fundamental part of deen. Islahus salah. How are we performing our salah? Is it being performed correctly? To start off with, is it being performed regularly, 5 times a day? And then is it being performed correctly? Is it being performed in the sunnah manner? And that khushu and khudu that is required? If that islah of that salah has not taken place, Allah forbid that very salah can become a problem for us. Because it's not going to be performed haphazardly. And if it's performed haphazardly, and then that ruku is not done correctly, the sajda is not done correctly, or that qawma and jalsa are not done correctly, sometimes how the recitation takes place, that salah then curses the person. Dayya'aka Allah kama dayya'tani. May Allah destroy you like you destroyed me. Now that islah of that salah didn't take place, that salah cursed the person. Because it was done wrongly. It was done haphazardly. And that has to be learned also. Islah of salah, islah of fasting, islah of how a person is giving his zakat, what is his mindset at that time, what heart is he discharging it with, is he really giving that which he is giving wholeheartedly, which he would be happy to receive had he been on the receiving end. Is he looking for things that can't be sold anymore now, let the debt stock move? Or is he giving that which he will give wholeheartedly, that this is the best that I can? But obviously, what is the moderate level of things? So all these things require islah. And then there's islah in all the day-to-day things. Islah of our mu'amalat, of our mu'asharat, of our akhlaq. Then islah of our batin. So many other things on the zahir and the external self. And the batin, the heart, what is the condition of the heart? Is the heart clean of pride, of malice, of jealousy, of love of the dunya, love of the ego? All these maladies of the heart, is it clean of it? Have you inculcated taqwa, inculcated yaqeen and conviction in Allah Ta'ala? Tawakkul and trust in Allah Ta'ala? Inabat and ruju ilallah? All the various noble qualities, has that been acquired? So now this is what islah is all about. Now the first thing in this part of islah is that fikr of islah. When a person has that fikr of islah, then that is what then drives him. Person has that fikr of islahul bayt. So now he's all the time looking. Forget looking, without looking too, he picks it up. One is to be looking for it. But when he is conscious of it, that everything must be to the T, then when he is not looking for it too, he sees it. Something slightly out of place, immediately it catches his eye. Something that is missing on that shelf, immediately picks it up. Why? Because that fikr is deep down. So that fikr makes the eye notice everything. So now that fikr for islahul a'mal. So now the person will start detecting his weaknesses. Because that's how that islah happens. When a person sees something not in place, he sees something not in order, now he tries to fix it. Tries to sort it out. He doesn't see it, don't bother about it. Carry on, it might start getting worse, it finally might break down. and he won't even know what happened because he's not concerned about it. So now to the extent there's that concern, he will see the weaknesses. Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, who is Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, is Amirul Mu'mineen, that personality who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the glad tidings of Jannah to while he's walking on the earth among the Ashra Mubashara. لَوْ كَانَ بَعْدِي نَبِيًّا لَكَانَ عُمَرْ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, had there been a Nabi after me, it would have been Umar. But what is his position and condition? He is making dua. What kind of dua? And dua for who? Reported he used to say, رَحِمَ اللَّهُمْ رَجُلًا أَهْدَى إِلَيَّ عُيُوبِ. May Allah Ta'ala have mercy on that person. Allah Ta'ala shower his rahmat on that person who comes and shows me my faults. May Allah Ta'ala shower rahmat on that person who comes and shows me my faults. And our situation is that if somebody does come to show us our faults, we are likely to tell him, mind your own business. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he's making dua, and by means of making this dua publicly, he's encouraging it. Please, come tell me. And the word he uses to ahda, which means giving a gift, somebody who gifts me, gives me this hadiya, that he comes and tells me what's my problem, where my faults lie. As Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu came back from after some time out, and he is now insisting upon him, tell me, you might have heard something about me, something that, you know, is not in order. So Salman says, no, nothing, just let it be. He is insisting, no, there must be something, you might have heard something, tell me. Hazrat Muash Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, sometimes somebody would come, they would say, Hazrat, I did something which should not have been done in regard to your haqq, so please forgive me. So you'd say, what do you mean by this? So now sometimes a person would even say that, no, I made some ghibat of you. So now if the person said, I made some ghibat of you, he would now insist, tell me, okay, what ghibat you made? So one day somebody asked him, but as it is, the person, it takes so much of courage to come and tell somebody that I did something which trampled your right. But the thing is, what brings a person to do it? That the so-called humiliation of dunya is nothing compared to the humiliation of akhirat. So if I have to humble myself in dunya or apparently be so-called humiliated here, what does it matter if it saves me from the humiliation of akhirat? Because that is beyond comparison. Dunya is nothing compared to that. So he says, this person now somehow plucked the courage to come and do that much, to come and seek forgiveness. Then now, you asked him, so even now took the courage to say he made ghibat. Now he's asking for forgiveness. But now you insist thereafter that no, you must tell me what ghibat you made. Now that really puts a person in a corner now. So what's, just forgive it, let it be. Now if we were in that situation, we would, if we had to start off with, to even take that step to ask, okay, what ghibat you made, our purpose would be perhaps very different. That now, okay, let's see now what damage control I have to do now. What story is this person spread around, so now I need to go and do some damage control. So when this person asks that, but why do you ask, why do you insist that, no, you must tell me what ghibat you made. So this is not something that should necessarily be done. If a person has faltered and committed this very grievous sin of ghibat, but if it hasn't reached the ears of the next person, the person who he has spoken ill of, then he shouldn't go and tell it to him. Then he should make tawbah, istighfar, make some dua on behalf of the person, give some sadaqah on his behalf, make some isal-e-sawab for him. Because now he will do double damage. He's already done one wrong, he'll commit a second wrong now. So now he must do all this, but if it has reached that person's ears, then he has to seek his forgiveness. Then he has to go and seek his forgiveness. So now perhaps people were now sometimes doubtful, maybe this reached his ears or not. So now they would come to now clear it up. He said, but then why you insist that you want to know what ghibat he made? Already this is such a difficult thing to do. So he used to respond and say, he responded on that occasion and said, that my only purpose of that is that if this person made ghibat, he would have seen some fault in me. So I want to know what fault he saw in me so I can correct it. I can rectify it. So he obviously saw something. He saw something and now he spoke about it elsewhere, so it became ghibat. But then what? After all, there was some deficiency. There was some fault. So I want to know the fault. Now, this was the purpose of asking, so that I could make islah of my weakness, of my fault, of my problem. Now, whereas it might have been totally, the person's thinking might have been wrong, whatever the case is, or the parat might have been some slight, sometimes some mistake somewhere, but the concern was not why this person went and made ghibat, or the concern to take him to task, or nothing of that sort. Concern to rectify myself. I need to sort my problems out. Now when that becomes the concern, that a person wants to correct himself, when he has this true, deep concern within himself, that I have to make, everything is hinged on this. Islah of Iman and Islah of Amal. And without this, there's problems in dunya, there's problems in akhirat. So now I have to make effort on this. And without this effort, I'm going to get nowhere. So now that fikr, and that fikr to see where one's faults lie, without knowing one's faults, he'll get nowhere. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, who was the giant in this field of Islam and tasawwuf, was an imam. So among the various ways of islah that he has mentioned, just to very briefly touch on it in the limited time, so he explains that one of the most effective ways and the most important ways of this islah in which it's achieved and acquired is that a person totally submits himself to somebody who is knowledgeable in terms of shariat and tariqat. In terms of shariat is the laws of deen, and tariqat is the spirit of deen. What is now termed as tasawwuf? The person who has this knowledge and his experience, and a person has that munasabat and that compatibility with him. So now somebody's compatibility is somewhere, somebody somewhere else. But wherever he finds his compatibility, then he submits himself. And then he doesn't have any rai and opinion of his own in any matter. He takes the guidance of the person who he has handed himself over to. And then without any question now, he does what he is being told to do in the light of shariat and sunnat. And inshallah, he'll reach his goal of islah. He won't start prescribing for himself. One nawab in India, these nawabs were like mini kings. Even the premiers of this time, like a premier of a province, he too doesn't have that position that the nawabs in India had at that time. So one nawab now is like a mini king now. So he wrote to Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi that I have this pride in my heart. I am afflicted with this pride. And therefore I want to come to your khanqa and I will straighten the shoes of everybody. So now, like, for our understanding now, the Prime Minister of the country says, no, I'll come by the masjid and I'll straighten the shoes of all the musallis. Everybody comes, I'll take the shoes and put it on the shelf for them. And if somebody left it lying on the floor, I'll straighten it. So now this is the Nawab now, and he's saying, I will come and straighten the shoes. So now I'm asking for permission to come along. So in response, Sultan Rahmatullah Ali first wrote to him, that you are writing on this note that you are ill. You have this disease within you, this disease of pride, so you are ill. And a person who is ill doesn't prescribe for himself. There's already one problem, that you are ill and you are prescribing. The person who's ill, he doesn't prescribe. Ra'yul alili alilun. The person who's sick, his view in a matter is also sick. Can't take his view in the matter. In that particular issue, which affects him, which he's sick in, that view also will be affected by that. And then the second thing is, that this is not for you to decide. You should come as a patient. You have declared yourself sick, so you should come as a patient. And you should do as the doctor says to you. Then if the doctor says to you that you must straighten the shoes, you must do that. And if he tells you, I'm getting off my chair, you sit on my chair today, you must do that. You don't prescribe for yourself. So in any case, he wrote this and he sent it off. And then he addressed those who were present and he said to them that, look, this is some Nawab, whoever it might be, he didn't take the name, who has asked for this to come now and to come and state in the shoes of the people here and so on. And he has prescribed this for himself as the remedy for pride. In reality, this is the extension of the pride. Because now he'll come. So now what's in his heart? Now those who are the experts of the field, they catch that inner thief. That inner thief that is hiding in there, they detect it very quickly. Sometimes we ourselves won't detect it. We ourselves won't realize that inner thief. But they catch it out. He says the story there is that now he will come, so now he will be known. People will recognize him. He's the Nawab of so-and-so place. This is, person is a, you know, the very, he's a person on such a position. And now everybody will see, oh, what a humble person he is. He's straightening everybody's shoes. So now he wants to be recognized as being humble. That wanting to be recognized in some way is also the part of pride. Recognition and desiring that recognition. Now whatever direction and angle it might be, here wanting to be recognized as being humble, that itself is pride. Because it's the crave for recognition. So now the person is prescribing for himself that I should do this and this will sort my problem out. He is actually prescribing something for himself that will increase his problem. So now this is where that lesson of Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi comes, that a person then makes fana. He completely annihilates himself and his views and opinions in any matter. He submits himself entirely. And now when he submits himself, then he follows exactly what's prescribed to him. Very, very easily, inshallah, he'll reach his goal. Then he gives a second prescription. And if a person doesn't have this opportunity for whatever reason, then he can still make his islah by forming a bond of friendship with somebody, that kind of friendship where there's a true friend. A true friend is one who saves one from harm. What harm? The greater the harm, the greater his concern to save one from. The harm of dunya, he'll save him from that too. But the harm of akhirat, there's no comparison to the harm of the harm of dunya to the harm of akhirat. So he'll be more concerned about saving him from the harm of akhirat. So he will tell him, this is the thing I've noticed, this is what's wrong. Not regarding himself as any better. But now this is that bond of friendship. These are true friends. So now he will keep asking, tell me my problems, and that person will keep observing and telling him. So now this friendship, two people now have created this bond of friendship for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, to help one another to rectify their problems. Now this is not as effective as the first manner, because sometimes a person doesn't have that inner knowledge of things. He doesn't have that expertise. Some things he might detect, some things he might not detect. But nevertheless, it's still better than nothing. And if that too is not available, he says you can make your islah through your enemies. If you cannot make it through your friends, then you can make it through your enemies. Because a person's enemy will be looking out for his faults. So if he pays attention to what his enemies are saying, purely for the purpose of his islah, then he'll do a lot. There was one person who used to write very, very abusive letters. It was a Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi, and it used to be filled with vulgarity. Person who had some problem, whatever it was. So Hazrat Maulana Yahya rahmatullahi alayhi, the father of the Sheikh rahmatullahi alayhi, he used to be responsible for reading out the correspondence. So after some time, he just didn't have the heart to read these things. He just used to put it aside. He see this person's letter, put it aside. Don't even read it. So some time passed, and one day Gangohi asked that our friend hasn't written to us for a long time, referring to the same person. The person used to write all these abusive letters. Our friend hasn't written to us for a long time. So Maulana Yahya rahmatullahi alayhi replied and said, these letters come, I don't have the heart to read this. Because I'm going to read it out to you. I can't bring myself to read it. He says, what? Usme galiya ke alawa kya hai usme? There's only vulgarity and swearing in there. What else is there? So, so first thing Hazrat replied and said, "Arey ye dhur ki galia kisi ko lagti hai kya? Somebody is sitting in some far off place and swearing. Does it affect us? Now, can we imagine this heart when it's made, when this heart has been reformed, when this heart has been rectified, when islah of the heart has been made? Somebody is saying something. What does it bother us? Is it affecting us? Does it matter to us if somebody is saying something abusive to us? Is it a stick? Is it a stone that hit us? Somebody is saying something, forget about it, ignore it. How does it harm us? But when that islah of that heart is not made, forget something that is directly abusive. Something that a very, very far-fetched meaning that can be perhaps extracted from it. Some negative meaning. A person said something, that statement can have 99 positive possibilities of what was meant in it, one far off possibility that the person meant something negative about us. But our mind will go to that far off distant possibility, this is what the person meant. He says, must read between the lines. But now there was only one statement. If you write it, it won't be full, it will be half the line. But I still insisting, must read between the lines. There's only one line there. Now, there's no lines and no between the lines. But he read something between the lines, he read it between the letters, that this person had some very negative comment in this whole thing. The words are very innocent, but the purpose and intent was very negative. Now on that possibility, far off possibility, of what this person probably meant, some negative, now we go on the warpath. And here there's just abuse upon abuse. And what is the response? Ye dur ki galia kahi lagti hai? All this far away, somebody is saying something, does it affect us? Should it bother us in any way? Then he said something, and he said, I don't listen just to hear what he's saying. I listen that in all this abuse, perhaps there might be something that is true. Meaning he's saying something negative, there perhaps might be something that is correct, because obviously, he is looking for any fault that he can find. So he can't find any fault, so he's just hurling abuse. But perhaps he might have found something. And if he's found something, he'll write it. So I pay attention to keep thinking and reflecting that any of the things that he has said, does anything apply? And if it applies, then I must take it, I must learn, I must reflect upon it and correct myself. Now this is that fikr of Islam. That even from one's enemies, one wants to take that message, lesson, is there something for me to learn? Is there something for me to reflect upon? Something for me to make islah of? So now if a person has that fikr, he has that concern, then his response to everything changes. Then he doesn't make an issue of unnecessary things. And he is very concerned that the primary issue is myself. I have to sort my situation out. And when a person starts looking, truly looking at his own faults and searching for his faults, then he becomes blind to the faults of others. And when he becomes blind to his own faults, then he'll never see his faults, but he'll be able to see everybody else's faults. Everybody else's minutest fault will be glaring in front of him. And his huge faults won't be seen to him. Will be unseen, will be totally, he'll be oblivious to them. So now we have to become very, very alert and conscious about our own selves to develop this fikr of Islah. Life is passing, we don't have any idea when our time will pass, and everything as discussed is hinged on this Iman and Amal Salihah. And this requires an effort, it requires an Islah, rectification of it, checking our Salah is correct. How to try and improve it? Go to somebody to assist us in it. Our tongue, is it correct? What are we speaking? How are we speaking? Is our gaze correct? What is about the way we engage our heart and mind? What kind of thoughts? What kind of things we keep engaging ourselves in thinking about people? About other things in general? What is our heart engaged in? Now having detected this, sitting down, and this is one of the very important aspects of Islah, is this muhasaba, sitting and pondering, reflecting and taking an account of oneself. taking an account of all one's day's deeds, what I did and how I engaged myself, and then trying to identify one thing at a time and working on it, taking advice on it and rectifying it. This is a very crucial aspect for our progress in dunya and akhirat, and we therefore cannot just take it casually, lightly, just go along. It has to become a concerted effort. It has become a serious effort, and we have to then try to improve one thing at a time. Nothing happens overnight. Everything can't happen at the same time. But if there is a concerted effort, there is that fikr and concern that I have to correct all the things. Many things we are aware of, many things we are not aware of. But when a person has that fikr, I need to sort this out, I need to sort that out, I need to sort my conduct out. How am I conducting myself in whatever it might be? Things that I sometimes don't even regard as a sin, which is a sin. Many things which just become the norm, and people carry on with it. No second thought is given to it. But it is wrong, it is sinful. So now we have to make tawbah from that, make islah of it. There's so many glaring things. Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us a tawfiq and grant us this complete islah, grant us this taqwa, iman and amal saliha. Allah Ta'ala keep us on iman and amal saliha and take us in this manner that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with us. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Said. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله لا إله إلا الله 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 La ilaha illallah. 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allah, Allahu jalla jalaluhu amma nawaluhu. Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا راحم المساكين يا أرحم الراحمين ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين إله العالمين يا الله most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah إله العالمين يا الله forgive us يا الله forgive all our major and minor sins يا الله forgive our families يا الله forgive our friends and relatives يا الله Forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah, shower your maghfirat on the ummah, ya Allah. Shower your rahmat on the ummah, ya Allah. Remove the difficulties and hardships of the ummah, ya Allah. Allahumma ghfir li ummati sayyidina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma arham ummata sayyidina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma farrijil kurab an ummati sayyidina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اللهم اهد أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم إله العالمين يا الله make us your true slaves and servants يا الله make us the true ummatis of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم إله العالمين يا الله grant us the tawfiq of following the Mubarak Sunnah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم Allah save us from the ways of the Yahud and Nasara يا الله Allah save us from all the sins and vices يا الله يا الله it is the sins and vices that are becoming the means of all the problems and difficulties يا الله the azab that is descending and the pandemics, ya Allah, all due to our actions, ya Allah. It's all due to the shamelessness, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah, grant us the reality of haya, ya Allah. Grant us the true haya, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, save us from all the haram and vices, ya Allah. Save us from all the evils, ya Allah. Save us from the sins of the eyes, ya Allah. The sins of the ears and tongue, ya Allah. The sins of the hands and feet, ya Allah. Cleanse our hearts out of all the evils and vices, ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat, ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat, ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat, ya Allah. Allahumma rzuqna hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wal amal alladhi yuqarribu ila hubbik. Allahumma aj'al hubbak ahabba ilayna min anfusina wa ahlina wa min al-ma'il barid. Ilahul alamin, take all the haram lover of our hearts, ya Allah. Take all the evils and vices from our hearts, ya Allah. Ilahul alamin, make sin detested to us, ya Allah. Make us hate sin like we hate filth, ya Allah. Ilahul alamin, enable us to love the amal saliha, ya Allah. Enable us to love salah, ya Allah. Fill our hearts with the love of salah, ya Allah. Fill our hearts with the love of tilawat, ya Allah. With the love of dhikr and dua, ya Allah. With the love of the amal khair, ya Allah. With the love of serving deen, ya Allah. Ilahul alamin, ya Allah. Allah, you accept us and our progenies till qiyamah for the khidmat of deen, ya Allah. With ikhlas and afiyat, ya Allah. Till our last breath, ya Allah. Ilahul alamin, ya Allah. Allah, enable us to perform our 5 times salah with jama'ah, ya Allah. Grant us khushu and khudu in our salah, ya Allah. Enable us to perform such a salah with which you are pleased with, ya Allah. Enable us to recite the Quran Sharif daily, ya Allah. Allah, save us from reading all kinds of futility, ya Allah. Save us from reading things that are affecting our hearts with darkness, ya Allah. That are filling our hearts with evil, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah. Allah, protect us from the evil and sin of the eyes, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah. Allah, remove this pandemic from the ummah, ya Allah. Remove this pandemic, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, you blessed us with such a great ni'mat, ya Allah. You blessed us with eyes, ya Allah. You blessed us with the ability to speak, ya Allah. Enable us to hear, ya Allah. Allah, all your bounties and ni'mat, ya Allah. But how we've abused them, ya Allah. How we've abused all these ni'mats and bounties, ya Allah. Allah, we've been so shameless, ya Allah. Allah, forgive the shamelessness of ours, ya Allah. Enable us to refrain and stay far away from all these sins, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah. Allah, grant us your consciousness at all times, ya Allah. Allah, when we are trying to hide and trying to look at things so that people don't see what we are seeing, ya Allah. And at that time, let us remember that you are watching, ya Allah. Let us remember all the time that you are watching, ya Allah. Allah, you know what our eyes are looking at, ya Allah. What our hearts are concealing, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah. Allah, bring out that shame and, ya Allah, that modesty in our hearts, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah. Allah, we sometimes, ya Allah, fear insan, ya Allah. Allah, we are ashamed for insan, ya Allah. Allah, we should be more ashamed to disobey you, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah. Grant us that reality of haya, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, save us from being shameless, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah. How are we going to appear the day of Qiyamah, ya Allah? How are we going to face Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Ilahul alameen, that we trampled his Mubarak Sunnah, ya Allah. We took the ways of his of the Yahud and Nasara, the ways of his enemies, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, all his plea and cry, ya Allah. When he was leaving dunya, he said, As-salah, as-salah. Let be conscious of your salah. Ya Allah, but the muezzin calls out the azan and we don't pay any attention, ya Allah. How are we going to face Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah, ya Allah? Ilahul alameen, grant us the correct understanding, ya Allah. Fill our hearts with the correct consciousness, ya Allah. Fill the correct concerns in our heart, ya Allah. Grant us total and complete islah, ya Allah. Ya Allah, make islah for our amal, ya Allah. Islah for our hearts, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, save us from all the vices and sins, ya Allah. Ya Allah, for too long we have been following shaitan, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, despite all your ni'mats and bounties, ya Allah, we have been so ungrateful, ya Allah.
Ya Allah, we've discarded all the ni'mas that you gave us. Ya Allah, ignored it, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen used it and benefited from it and didn't bother about it, Ya Allah. And we followed the footsteps of Shaitan, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you granted us everything and we carried on pleasing Shaitan, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, forgive this major crime of ours, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us the strength to, Ya Allah, defy Shaitan, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, he is our open enemy, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us realize this, Ya Allah. Make us realize nafs and Shaitan are conspiring for our destruction, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from this destruction, Ya Allah. Save us from this destruction, Ya Allah. Save us from following in the footsteps of nafs and Shaitan, Ya Allah. Save us from following our haram desires, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, enable us to fulfill, Ya Allah, all what you have commanded, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, let us be very concerned about pleasing you, Ya Allah, about following in the Mubarak footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, all those who are sick, give them shifa kamila, ajila, mustamirra, da'ima. Allah, remove every trace of their ailments, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, all those who are in hospitals, give them complete afiyat and shifa, Ya Allah. Grant them complete recovery, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, whatever difficulty and hardship anybody is experiencing, Allah, you with afiyat, Ya Allah, remove those difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, those who are in financial problems, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Grant barakat in each one's rizq, Ya Allah. Grant halal and tayyib rizq, Ya Allah. Save us from every drop and grain of haram and doubtful things, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those who asked us to make dua for them, Ya Allah. All those who have, Ya Allah, raised their hands to this dua, Ya Allah, you don't know of each one's needs, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, fulfill each one's jayz needs from the ghaib, Ya Allah. Fulfill each one's pious aspirations, Ya Allah. Remove each one's difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Grant each one the best of dunya and akhirat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, our greatest need, Ya Allah, is to become totally yours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you become ours, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, you grant us this ni'mat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, grant us the nisbat of the awliya siddiqeen, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all the good that we have asked for, Ya Allah, grant it to us, Ya Allah. What we should have asked for and did not ask, give it to us without asking, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min sharri musta'adaka minhu نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله